UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. And I know it's a Friday. Kids are out. Traffic was clear. I know it's a Friday. It's going to be a total confessional Friday. Steve Rummage in the building, Brian Hall in the booth.
I desperately need it to be tomorrow at noon. Like, I haven't needed a game more than I need this game tomorrow. I'm just going to be honest with you.
I've told you about wishing away your time, Steve. I've told you about wishing away your hours. Use your hours to prepare to be great. Use your hours to just learn a new craft, learn a new recipe to cook. Just do something. Don't wish away your hours.
I'm already thinking tonight, I'm like, what can I do to just pass the time?
What's the first thing that pops in your head?
Go out to eat.
What's the second?
Cook something at home. Sit home.
Brian all in the booth. Brian, what's going on, my man?
Nothing much, guys. You know, it's a Friday. We got a game tomorrow. The women got a game on Sunday. We got some football sound from yesterday. I mean, it just seems like a packed day. And the Bellarmine Knights ended their three-game losing streak last night. Adam Eberhard returned, and they got a win last night. West Kentucky Hilltoppers got a win last night. Life's just, you know, good right now.
There is a natural sponsorship opportunity. We will rename this segment at 10:10. Fish Tank Friday. Brian?
Oh, Fish Tank Friday.
Give me an update.
All right, so we
are... Fish Tank Friday brought to you by whatever fish restaurant wants to sponsor.
All right, cool, cool. Well, I got
somebody, Wait, no, wait a minute.
Possibility. Yeah. No.
Yeah, fish terrible. Store. Yeah, sorry
that's
about that.
That's kind of the opposite effect. You kind of want a fish store that's trying to keep them alive.
Yeah, but, well, Fish Store Friday.
But no, 75-gallon tank. It's going solid. We got about maybe 10 fish in there, or maybe 8 fish in there. Everybody's striving, living
Wait
well.
A minute. When you said we have 10 fish in there,
me.
Are you co-owner of that fish tank?
No.
Is there another owner that we don't know about, Brian?
No, you have another investor? There's not another owner. There is a girlfriend that's helping the cause, you know, like when I need an extra hand.
Hmm. Interesting. Huh. Our fish tank.
No,
huh?
my fish tank. But yeah, no, it's going well. We got two clownfish. We got two banghais. We got a new canary rassy, which is a little about a 3-inch guy right now that's yellow, and he, hence the name canary, solid yellow, really pops. I got a new flame angel. It's probably my prettiest fish that I got right now, and it's a real bright orange with a blue tail, and it's got like grill marks on the side of it. It's pretty incredible. Got a new tuxedo urchin in there, so I got a sea urchin.
And a tuxedo urchin.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Oh.
It's a form of a urchin. Basically, it looks like a little pincushion.
Oh, wow.
And it.
And you still haven't posted videos or pictures.
Well, there's an issue with that, and it's that my camera on the back of my phone decided it wanted to go out right when I decided to buy a fish tank. So currently, I only have my front camera, so it's really hard to like film it and not be looking at it. So I'll get some videos up there soon, but we're about to start adding corals probably within a week or two. I've been saying that for a while, but I finally got my new coral lights that I can grow with, and we'll get those guys in there, and we'll keep you up to date on how the corals grow.
Well, that was Fish Tank Friday, brought to you by Brian Hall.
You're welcome. I'll get you some pictures to go along with it. It'll be a lot cooler when we got pictures.
So while you're doing Fish Tank Friday, I am doing Confessional Friday. I started the show. I put a thought into Steve's head, and I thought that maybe that wasn't a good thought to put in your head earlier. You went deep into thought as I posed this question to you, Brian. I want you to lock in on this one. So before I tell you what's going on, I have to ask this question so you can have some time to think about it. Steve, you can think about it again. Brian Hall. Your parents overreact to something you do that's wrong. Something you do or something you did when you were a child that was just stupid, you know what I'm saying? But you regularly did it, right? It was that thing that sometimes you look at yourself in the mirror and just like, why am I so stupid, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just there's something. But then again, at the end of the day, you say, geez, Dad, like, was it that big of a deal? Like, relax, right? So not that it has to be a small thing, but just I want you to think about a parent pet peeve that you did that they just thought, you're not going to make it in life, right? Because yeah. I've done that. I've done that, and I've shamed myself. I've shamed my family name. I've shamed the listeners of 93.9. So, you know, we got President's Day coming up on Monday. A lot of people have, you know, long weekends, especially teachers, you know. No, my dad's a teacher. So, you know, he warned me a while back that this weekend in particular, he was going to, you know, take a trip to Louisville, right? He said, you know, see if you can use any influence to, you know, get me some lodging, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, he knows he can stay with me, but he knows sometimes I can, you know, I can get him a, you know, something down on the river every once in a while, and, you know, just to have fun, right? Mm-hmm. So he throws it out there, but we're not really, we don't harass each other really. So it's not like, hey, man, you got that situation taken care of? Like, he won't do that. Listen, he told me, even though it was a month and a half ago, you know, 2 months ago, he told me he expected it to be taken care of, right? So fast forward. Last night, dad's on the road, right? We're just fast forward. Dad's on the road. Dad calls me, says I ran into some trouble. He forgot his wallet. He's on the road, like Chattanooga from Atlanta on the road, right? Talking, you know, 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night on the road. He's a nighttime driver. He's a military man. He's a pilot, right? So I'm like, okay, what you gonna do? You know, he's like, I'm gonna turn back around. And he's like, I don't know if I got enough gas to even make it home. You know what I'm saying? So we're, you know, I'm like, Dad, you got Cash App. You know, go to a gas station, you know, Cash App somebody $30 and tell them to give you $20. You know, you can make an exchange pretty easy. This is an emergency situation if you can't get home. So we're, you know, we're talking through it or whatever. But I'm kind of assuming that the trip's done. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe he might try it again. But, you know, you get the point. So, assuming the trip's done, I get the key, the spare key that's in the hidden brick in the slice of the building. You know, it's four bricks up, 17 bricks over, 7 more bricks up. That's how you find the hidden key. Yeah. Right. So for some reason, I go check for the hidden key, right? Put it in my hand, bring it right back in the house. Fast forward to this morning. Dad's in the vicinity. I don't know how close he is, but he has no idea that the hidden key is not in the hidden spot.
So what's he going to do?
He's going to call me, and Steve Rummage is going to take over the show.
And then you're leaving?
And then I'm leaving. I can't leave my six.
About an hour and a half away.
That's exactly what I'm hoping. I can't leave my 66-year-old father, who's been on the road for 6.5 hours with no key, to find something to do. People that are advanced age, they got to go to sleep when they get off the road, mm-hmm. right? And he's tough. I mean, he'll sleep in the car, but it's like, there's no way in good conscience I can do a show knowing
your dad's just riding around killing time.
Or sleeping in my parking lot in front of my place.
I'm sure he could probably go get a coffee or something down the street.
He drinks
coffee as much as you do.
I thought about that. This is actually tea. It's honey tea. I'm really getting really sick. I thought about that. But just for the record, if he calls me in the middle of this show and I hear his voice, like if he calls and says, you know, you don't got the key, you know, I don't even want to tell him though. Part of me wants to text him and say, Dad, slow down. I left the key. But
you probably just told him. He's probably listening.
The point is, he's going to kill me. He is going to kill. But it's that childhood kill you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always knew you wasn't going to amount.
But here's the thing. right? If he calls you in like 45 minutes, he'll only have to kill about an hour and 15 minutes. You can go grab a sandwich somewhere or something. But then again, he wants to wait to have lunch with his son probably.
I'm having a problem right now. Let's not make a joke about it. So listen, that's his thing. Like when he says, make sure the key's out there, you know, I got to make sure the key's out there. You can't let some, you know, just that's one of those things he will literally say. You're not going to make it. if you forget something like that in your life. It's going to come haunt you.
All right, well, I can say this because my parents are out of town, but they like to, because they tend to listen to the show a lot. But they my family tends to be a little bit of talkers, and they can ramble a little bit, and kind of repeat themselves, and it goes on for a while. Anyways, I have trained myself to kind of tune out after I get the key points.
Right.
The problem is I tune out and I always miss a couple little other factors in there.
Yep.
And I always do the same thing you're doing, where it's something that my mom or my dad literally asked me to do maybe within the last 30 minutes, and I completely just forgot about it or just never heard the original request. And then I have to sit there and be like, oh, I didn't hear you. And you're like, you were standing right there.
I know.
Heard me. And I was like, yeah, but I was in La La Land over here.
You actually, about the Louisville game. You admit that?
No, but that's what I was thinking in my head is what I'm saying.
Right. Just, there's no way I can admit that.
And that happens to me all the time.
Steve, what'd you think?
You got to be Clemson.
See, he was in La La Land thinking about the game.
I'm looking up the roster. I've been overlooking
the
stats.
He has no idea what we just talked about. And it furthers my point that I just said.
I've been looking up the roster. I'm so locked into Clemson right now. I feel like I am a Clemson basketball connoisseur right now.
Yeah. They were supposed to get Zion Williamson too, man.
Well, what are you waiting on? Educate us.
Well,
there's no way you scrolled for 19 minutes straight and do not have – awesome content about Clemson. I'm listening.
We should kill this team, man. I don't know what I'm listening. Saying. You should absolutely wipe the floor with this team tomorrow, man. I don't know. I think, jeez. I'm so nervous. I don't know. You just can't lose it, though. I need the game to start. I don't know. Yes, make sure your key's out, though. Do that. Make sure your key's out, Brian. Listen to your parents. What do you want me to say?
Are you going to add more to the conversation? No, you've been looking at Clemson stuff for the last 15 minutes. Add some Clemson content right now.
Okay. Go ahead. Never mind.
Brian, what do you have? Do you have Clemson content? Other than
No. I had content about maybe what Steve's parents' pet peeves were.
Yeah, Steve.
They may be the biggest team we've played all year.
I'm thinking that it's... his parents made him go to church every Sunday, and when he missed a Sunday, they were very upset.
There was no option to miss.
See, there you go. That's the pet peeve.
I could miss school before I was able to miss church.
Yeah. Clemson loses to Nebraska. Clemson loses to Mississippi State. Clemson loses to they got a good win over that tough South Carolina team.
Yeah, I know.
Lipscomb is their best win.
Yeah.
They kept it under 20 against Duke, 19.
Yeah.
Syracuse, they got busted. Virginia, they got busted. Florida State, lost by 9. Georgia Tech, they won by 12. North Carolina State beat them on the last second buzzer beater, and they beat Pittsburgh pretty good.
Yeah. I mean.
They held Wake Forest to 37 points.
Yeah. It's, I mean, on paper, they look good as far as height-wise, man.
Lost to Miami?
6'10", 6'4", 6'3", 6'4", 6'8", 6'8",
6'9",
6'5". Somebody said, invite your dad to
the studio. Listen, I thought about that.
Just tell him to come up.
But again, that's another 48 minutes on his trip.
Yeah, but there's a lot of good places to eat around here. So you can do that. That's fun. I don't know. Point is, yes, all that is good. Sorry, I was reading. I don't know. What do you want me to say? I was looking at the game. Y'all were having a nice conversation.
I got a text that maybe we can help Dad out.
Okay.
With the logic, not with. He's going to kill me. He is going to absolutely kill me. He is going to give me that Denny Crumb. Oh, yeah, you forgot the key? Yeah, Dad. Okay. All right. Right?
Yeah.
That's going to be worse than him yelling at me.
Yeah.
Like, as a grown man as I am, I've retreated into that kind of person today.
That's funny.
So, anyway.
Yep.
I agree with you, what you said. This Clemson, while I'm done with the Duke talk, The only Duke remnants that, you know, that we discuss is the psychological damage that was done. I gotta admit this too. I moseyed through the bowels of the basketball facility. Give me the name. I'm getting ready to see it. Planet Fitness Cuber Center. I guess sure. I better learn that. I better learn where the Baby Yum is. I can't call it Baby Yum anymore.
I know.
Sorry about that. But until it gets, you know, until it gets comfortable, that's what I'll say. I'm over at the Baby Yum, you know, moseying through and hollering at the coaches. And I will say this without admitting any of our conversations. The spirits are good, right?
It's good.
I heard
it's good to hear.
Right. I heard everything I would want to hear personally, you know, like, because, mm-hmm. I go in there saying, I hope I don't hear this. I hope I don't. And they'll tell me, they'll say, guys are really taking it tough. You know, like yeah. That's what I do enjoy about popping my head into that building. You know, I can see expressions and I can say, darn it.
Yeah.
They look, they, you know, the vibe seem to be, I think they're revved up,
mm-hmm.
you know, it remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Nationally, the national perception, you think there's going to be eyeballs on how does Louisville recover from their Duke loss?
No, I don't. Because I think that out of that game was Duke's amazing. I've read articles for the last 2 days, and they don't really act like Louisville blew the game.
Hmm.
I mean, reading the articles, it's just
So you're saying this is another one of those that's 100%.
I think Louisville got a lot of credit. I think Louisville got a lot of credit for beating the crap out of Duke for a long time. I think that's where it ended. I think people said, yeah, little team, man, you don't want to see them early.
You know what I'm really happy about? I'm really, really happy that we could look in the mirror after that loss.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that there was no phantom Duke call.
Yeah.
I'm really happy about that. I was envious of Kentucky fan being able to complain about a blown call at the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know? Because there's something to point to. There's something to say, conspiracy. It was, they did, you know, the referees did this. No, the referees did exactly what they're supposed to do when it's a 26-point game.
Yeah.
Let them play. Let the clock run out.
Yeah.
There is no phantom call. There is no.
I didn't think so. No, I didn't think so. I mean,
But you know what I'm saying? Like, as far as, like, it's good. There's no mushiness around the narrative. There's nothing. There's nothing extra.
Right. Yeah, no, I think you just say, look, it was a game. It was a game you feel like that you lost down the stretch. And I think nationally, no, I don't think there'll be a lot of bounce back. I think people expect Louisville to come in, take care of business against Clemson, and you move on. I mean, look, like I said, I do the bracketology look and stuff around now. I mean, you know, they move you down to a 5 seed or so. And, you know, you're fluctuating between a 5 and a 4 and different back and forth. And you're right there.
Okay, so Steve Rummage
playing Little Tino, by the way, right now. I don't want that, only because I don't want to deal with it. Not that I don't think we can't beat Minnesota. I just
right.
You
don't want any narratives that connect us to past.
Yeah.
Like, situations.
Just no.
Right.
No. Yeah. Play somebody else.
Right. No, yeah. I don't want to play his old school that he used to coach at. I don't want to play. You know, no villain, no Providence.
I know.
Like, no way to even, you know, send me out west, put me in Gonzaga's and Arizona State.
If you play Little Patino, they'll have so many, well, this is what happened, and this is what happened, and what about this? And, like, in the tournament, no thank you. I don't need that.
Do you think Brackets likes to put those storylines in there?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if they do in the real bracket or not.
That's just one of our conspiracy theory conversations.
But I think the bracketologists absolutely do. Sure. You're like, yeah. Don't, I mean, Lenardi last year.
That's how you get retweets.
Do you know that, like, somebody was telling me for, like, the last 3 years, Lenardi has only had, like, or has had Kentucky and Louisville in the same bracket. Like, I can't remember what it was. It was, like, 80-some of his so many brackets.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a high percentage. Yeah. He's always trying to
He's got Kentucky and Louisville in the same bracket now.
Really?
I think. Yeah. I can't remember. I looked at so many. They run together. One of them does.
I was wondering about that. Like, because here's what I thought. I don't know if I responded to this or if my response was this morning. They're all getting mushy. the better Louisville plays.
Yeah.
The better Louisville plays, the less I care about brackets.
Yeah.
The better the schedule is, the less you care about brackets.
Yeah.
You know, you judge by the teams you cannot beat versus the teams you can beat.
Yeah.
You're only, like I said, and again, you just don't want to run into the teams you cannot beat in the first two rounds. To me, that's bracket mathematics for the fan who doesn't want to do what you do, mm-hmm. who doesn't want to see 17 different brackets from 17 different people and hope for it. To me, I say three rules. Find who you don't want to play. Look at brackets where you dodge them, right?
Yep.
Find where you play,
mm-hmm.
right? And see how where you can get to the second round before you play the people you don't want to play.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
To me, that's Maben's version of bracketology.
I think that's very well said.
Stay away from Duke. Yeah. Stay away from Tennessee. You say stay away from Kentucky. I'll debate that one.
I say that just psychologically for me.
Right. And it has
nothing to do with the teams.
I want to see this team against Virginia. And I'm telling you, man, I watched Gonzaga last night. I don't know, man.
I know.
I don't know. Here's what I'll say, because we have to point out some teams that they're probably the only team we don't have a. Seems like they're the only team out of top 12 we haven't played. But when I saw Gonzaga, here's what I thought about them. And this can't be negative because I'm not allowed to talk bad about Gonzaga. Everybody knows mm-hmm. that. When they play so many bad teams that they can just execute. Like, think about it. They have real-life practice dummies for a full year. They play 6 real games. I listened to them trying to pump up. What's the name of that team? Loyola?
Yeah. Marymount.
Right.
Yeah.
I listened to them say, this is an underrated team. How many years in a row can you tell me Loyola is one of the 3 teams that had a shot at beating Gonzaga this year?
Well, they're like.
And they wipe the floor with them every single year.
They're like, Hank Gathers, pleasure.
Like, right.
Yeah.
Like,
good call.
I hear that every single year. And again, I'll say this. If they get to execute their offense against new dummy athletic dummy people, you know, dummy team, and I'm saying that as a generic.
No, they're beating teams in conference by like average of 25 points.
You're right. Last 2 games, it was a 78-point margin of victory.
Yeah.
And like, that's not.
But that's why they get beat a lot in the second round.
Point being, all day long. Mm-hmm. Gonzaga me all day long.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and it's like I.
But that's why games. If you want if you want me to say where games like Duke and some of those hurt you, it's you teeter on that 4 line. If Louisville gets a 4, I've already broke this down once. If you get a 4, you're going out west. You're going out west, and you're going to play. You're going to be in Gonzaga's bracket,
right?
As the 4. That's a perfect scenario for Louisville. But when you drop games that Florida State, Duke, that you should have won, you now teeter yourself on the 4-5 line, leaning more towards the 4. Now you got to win a couple more, you know, to get yourself there. That's where it's important. Because you get a 5, I'm telling you, they're throwing you right in D.C. with Duke.
If you drop to that 5.
Yeah, they're going to throw you right over to Washington, D.C. in that bracket, in Duke's bracket, and they're going to say, there you go, there's your 5.
And you don't think that Louisville would travel enough to have a good representation in D.C.?
Oh, no, I think they would, absolutely. I mean, sure. It's still.
But you did still do.
Yeah, I mean, it's still. You're still going to have to play the best team in the country to get through, you know, or Virginia. Well, you can't. Well, maybe you can. You can't be in Louisville, though.
2 games against Virginia, I don't think, you know, like Duke, you only play 1 time regular season. I don't think they would put you in a bracket.
I don't either. That's why I say I think they would put you as a 5 because bracketing principles are out the door when you're a 5. It's top 4. And you, I mean, that's what I think Louisville's playing for.
Except for playing in Louisville.
Except for playing in Louisville, yeah. You can't play there. God forbid. It's just played over at Freedom Hall, so we could.
No.
If it was at Freedom Hall, we could play there.
I don't want to bring people in Freedom Hall, though. You know, Tank Mine Arena.
I do, because it would be us.
Right.
It would put us there.
No, there's something about me. I felt dirty. Remember when Kentucky played Indiana in Freedom Hall or something like that? Like, I was like.
Actually, and they probably wouldn't put us there because Louisville would still. Louisville would have to be the, couldn't be like seven. The host.
Yeah.
They couldn't be the host school. So we would have to say, put it in Freedom Hall and make the OVC conference or something the host.
Run it, yeah.
Then Louisville could play.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be totally awesome. Okay, so, that's, is that the floor for you five right now?
Six. Six is the floor for me. And I swear, I remember having a conversation on this radio show that I was like, a six. I was like, man, I think this team in the preseason, after watching a game or so, after we watch exhibitions, I'm like, I don't know, man. I think they can get up to a six seed. Now I think the six is probably the floor. I mean, unless they fall flat on their face. But, I mean, if they win the four games they should, or at least take three of those four and then win a couple conference or win a conference tournament game and or two, then all of a sudden I think the floor would be a six seed.
Floor. Let me ask you this. Cause when I say floor, I say, okay, if you're hitting the floor, do you think this team can handle, after all this talk about fours and fives and bracketology, and Coach Mack has said, well, he keeps a running tab of what's going on. Do you think that the team would that mean you've had a meltdown confidence wise from the Duke game if you come in at a six?
No, I think it would mean that you've let.
I do.
See, I don't know. I think it means that you let Florida State and Duke, you blew those games. So you put yourself behind the eight ball a little bit.
But moving forward, that means you're probably going to get an early round bounce in the ACC tournament. You
probably lose at Syracuse.
Syracuse and Boston College.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe still a Virginia, lose two that you're not supposed to lose. We'll put you at a six.
You beat Virginia, you'll be in the 4-5 line.
Not if you get beat by two of teams that's not supposed to beat you.
I don't know. I don't think so. If Louisville would have the best resume. That's why it'd eat you alive the other night. You're like, right. I mean, Louisville would be like, gosh, you would have just the most dominant resume. Like, if Louisville had held on against Duke, I'm not sure they could have done anything outside of losing every game from here on out that wouldn't have took them off the four line. Like, you were locked in. I'm a four seed. You hold on to that game, you're like, we're a four seed in the tournament. I mean, unless they lose every game from here on out, they're a four seed in the tournament. If they get one of those Virginia games, I think that locks them at a four seed.
That'll be a Duke replacement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're going to have that conversation. And I'm going to call my dad.
Yeah,
Middays with Marcus Maben, 8150, 93.9 is the number on 93.9 DeVille.
Come out to Bluegrass Karting and Events and check out their all-new axe throwing arenas. Make a night of it. And also enjoy their new full bar and expanded menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events, the fastest go-karts in Kentucky, and now axe throwing arenas.
To Middays with Marcus Maben, broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People, I believe we may have disaster averted. I don't want to jinx it, but I believe we may just have a solution. I can't tell you the solution because that might be jinxing it as well. Speaking of jinxing, this is Friday. We have to address this while trying to have a little bit of fun. So everyone had a lot of stories about they felt personally responsible for changing the mojo of the Louisville game at 26 points, at 23 points, at 21 points. Most people, even up 16, you know, with limited time on the clock, most people felt like they did something or they saw someone do something that could have just angered the sports gods that led us to a loss. I left the game early. but later than I normally leave. So there was something wrong with my timing. Maybe I should have stayed. Maybe I should have left earlier. I was enjoying myself too much. Normally I go no later than 12-minute mark, and I took it down to about 8. Yeah, magic number 8. So I have to do something. I have to commit to something moving forward with these games. Now, I need to know what you think.
Okay.
You have to commit to Brian Hall. What did you do wrong? Make your confession about the game. Did you send a tweet out that said, "This is awesome"? Everybody did something that messed up the mojo. Like I said, I have my debate about me leaving early, but here's the thing, moving forward. Everybody knows, I meant to address this yesterday. I talk about my buddy Dwayne, who is probably the most intense Louisville fan that you can have, right? I mean, just angry and just so happy at the same time, all the time. He loves being a Louisville fan.
Yeah.
He loves to be angry. He loves to be happy. He's just passionate. So
we got an away game Wednesday.
We'll talk about that.
Dwayne.
So here's the thing.
I owe a lot of money.
No tips, Steve.
Golly.
Here's the thing. During that game, I had to explain to him, I left the game. Now, there's something about being friends with him. If you get back-to-back text messages somewhere in between transition of the game and the Galt House, Al J's at the Galt House, thank you so much. You treat us so well. Somewhere in between there, if I get more than one text message, I know it's him, and I know he's saying something really negative, right? Like, for us to be friends, he's either going to have to commit to never texting me again during games,
yeah,
or I'm literally going to have to say, like, I had a conversation, like, dude, I do believe, like, I'm going to have to block you from making communication with me in the middle of games. I cannot take your spirit because it is most people, like, listen, basketball guys that are just skeptics by nature, you know, when they send something, it's like, whatever, you know. But his is so painful.
Yeah.
Like, he's that guy, like, if I ever pay one more dollar for a piece of Louisville Cardinal game, it's something long like that.
Yeah.
Like I swear to the sports guys, I will never turn. I'm going to cut my cable tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, he's that guy. Like, Mr. Extremism. And it's heartbreaking to read his pattern of messages. What say you, Steve? Mm-hmm. Does he get permanently game blocked? Or do I just figure out a number at the game mark that I just have to stick to?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Because one got to go.
Yeah, because that is tough, man. Because you know why I had to get up with about 2 minutes left, two and a half minutes left, and I watched in the aisleway there. Because the ESPN sideline reporter was like giddy that Duke was coming back. And I'm sitting there next to her, and I'm like, would you shut up? God. And she's tapping me like, oh, man, he's awesome.
Now,
oh, man, Zion.
Now y'all see.
Oh, my God, Zion.
See,
I'm
now,
like,
now,
shut up.
Now,
dude.
Here, now, listen, I want you to record this.
I don't even
this.
Know her name.
I want you to record this, Brian, because when Dan Dockett shows up in town, or when, you know, any of my favorites, when Holly Rose shows up in town, and I say, Steve, I need you to be on your best behavior today. And Steve doesn't realize, too, you think she couldn't feel the vibe and how angry Steve was at that time? She'll never want to sit right there ever, ever again.
Oh, no, she was loving it. She was having the time of her freaking life.
She was mad that you weren't enjoying it, though.
Golly. I'm like, okay. What is so thrilling about this?
Okay, back to the original.
Yeah, no. Yeah. See, I don't know, man, because I just ignore. When people text me, I get
you
so many.
You don't even look at it?
No, I get so many texts during the games. If it doesn't say wife or mom, I don't
but
even look at
sound.
It.
The sound. Listen.
I got a response.
That's the thing. I got, like, the spirit comes through the phone. Like, I know what it says when I hear the ding. It's technically the same tone, but I'm telling you, man, there's some energy that comes through the tone that says it's not going good.
Yeah.
And no, and it brings me 10 levels worse when I get that call. You know how people say, when I got the phone call, I just knew.
Yeah.
That's how I feel whenever I'm not actively watching the game.
Well, then I would say if that's the case, then, yeah, I mean, you almost got to move on. I mean, don't ruin our gig at Applebee's.
Right.
But yeah, you may have to move on.
Like, we can't really, like, be in basketball game time conversation.
Right, yeah. Because, yeah, that's, because like I said, I kind of block it out because I don't even get on Twitter a whole lot during the game, unless I tweet.
I honestly don't really touch my phone during the game. Maybe occasionally at a timeout or something, but for the most part, I'm looking up at the boards to check stats and different things like that. I will say, though, that I gave you a lot of help, Marcus, for leaving the game, but I also made a mistake in that same process.
Why am I just now hearing about this on Confession Friday?
Well, my first text was...
You let me eat this charge all week?
Yeah, right? my first text was to Steve,
yep.
Please tell Marcus, or please tell me Marcus went to the bathroom. He didn't leave, did he? And
you finished that text.
And then he said, he left. And then I said, there's 8 minutes left in possibly the biggest win we've had in a long time.
I know. And I was kind of, and let me just say, I put he left like in caps with exclamation marks.
Yes.
Like.
You didn't put the ampersand that showed that I was cussing?
I put it on there. No. Look, I put it on there like he left. And if these dudes come back, I don't want to say because I'm scared I'll get thrown in jail. What I may do to him.
Yep.
Because I don't want people to even know that my mind could get that sick.
I know.
I was like, I could bug his room. I was like, well, I'm sure I could find like something to slide in there. It'd be slow and painless.
A journey into the mind of Steve Rummage. Like when people poison our studio. Yeah.
I'll be like,
when we come here and start coughing uncontrollably.
He went to sleep. It was no big deal. It was very humane. But yes, no, it was... And then when Brian, and here's my
problem. Are you committed to a new tradition?
No, other than, I just sound so pathetic, other than I won't let my heart get broken.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
No.
That's all I got, man.
No.
I won't get married again.
Since the days of Cardinal Sports Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday morning.
Yes.
Steve.
Yeah.
We made a blood oath.
Yes.
To never be the person that says, but you know what? We did make that blood oath. Yeah. But along this journey,
yeah,
we have experienced so much pain.
It's terrible.
That we've said, we've actually allowed it to both venture into our brains to say, at some point, I'm going to turn into those guys.
Yes.
If I go through a pain like Duke again,
I know.
I'm going to start saying, my team doesn't have a chance to win ever.
I know.
I'll never be that person.
Here was my problem. What I mean is there was a point in that game that I allowed myself to do something I never really do. I was like, it's over. It's over.
Something that simple.
Yeah, I was like, it's over. We've won. We will not lose. I was like, even if they come back.
The 26, we will not lose.
They cut it to 10. And you know, and I promise you, do you know what I was sitting at that table aggravated about? I was like, now I got to go over and do the post game, and people are going to be, I'm going to be trying to get hype about the win, and people's going to be like, oh, they blew it.
Yeah, I'm like, you didn't want to defend the last second run.
Yeah, that's what I was aggravated with all the way up, because I was like, I mean, they're not going to lose. Like, my cousin texted me and was like, man, that 2 minutes is going to cost us. I was like, dude, they're up 14. They're not going to lose. Dude, they're still up 7. Jordan just hit the 3. They're up 5 now. And they're not going to lose. Well, it's going to be close, but they're not going to lose. Yeah, that's what I did I will never allow myself to do again.
When you say that, I think you just gave, without knowing it, mm-hmm. you gave the magical explanation on why the fans were not irate.
Yeah.
Because there was only 3 minutes of time to be irate. The 3 minutes from the shock of the buzzer sounding... And me turning around, realizing the ushers are shooing us out the door.
Yeah.
You watch Duke run around. You turn to your left. You turn to your right. Some people were happy. Some people were angry. What just happened? Like, nobody believed you were going to. I mean, there were some people who the thought of losing crept into their head. But like you said, most people were just, I really wanted to smash them. I really wanted that 20-point North Carolina thing because that was fun.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait to hear Donovan Mitchell go at Grayson Allen.
Oh, like, yeah.
Get your sorry, crappy self off my team, out of my gym. Like, think about the video of Donovan Mitchell running up on Grayson Allen.
It was going to be an incredible time. Yeah.
Like those are little things we didn't even think about.
I was ready to go to Barino's by the bridge and stay till 1 in the morning.
How hurt?
2 in the morning. This is going to be amazing.
Our former players, our Chinanus, like our guys that are in the league that would have had the Duke win.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was brutal. Are we going to take that one before we head into break, y'all?
We'll grab one before you. But you're right. I mean, I think that
they didn't have enough time to be angry.
That was kind of my thing is I was like, you know, man, I was angry that we were blowing the lead.
For the look.
For the look. Yeah. I need this game tomorrow.
We would have jumped so high.
Just come on.
Robbie, thanks for joining us on the At Scoring Collision Center Hotline, my man. What's on your mind?
Gentlemen, I hope you all are having a great day today. I needed a couple days to let that just kind of marinate and sink in. And I got to be honest, I didn't even get to listen to any Louisville radio. I turned everything off. I went radio silence for a couple days. So I don't know if my points are going to have been brought up or whatever, but that really hurts. So I needed a couple days of recovery. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
Listen, we all cope different ways.
But a couple things. First of all, yes, Steve, I totally agree. I was so upset because I was like, we're going to go from like a tier one victory to a tier two victory here because we're not going to win by more than 10 points. So I was like, this is garbage. Mm. Or however that system works in the net or whatever. I was like, man, we're not going to get that 10-point win up until like the very end there. But I have this question and I have this hypothesis about this and I don't know if it's been brought up yet. But Zion Williamson had at least 12 fouls in that game that were not called. And I wonder if it's that LeBron James, people are really paying to see him play kind of thing. And I wanted to hear your all's opinion on that. Because especially when we were up by so much, like he went over the back at least 3 times. And I was kind of losing, you know, my mind sitting here. And I'm like, they could come back. Like, we need him to foul out of this game. He's sitting here with 4 fouls and they will not call a 5th on him. And, like, I get he's an athletic freak and, like, you know, he's a big draw, but I just kind of wanted to hear what you guys had to say about that. If you guys thought it was just off the wall or if you thought there may be a little bit of truth behind that.
Right.
So I will defer to you.
No, listen, Robbie, I really appreciate that call. Yes, we did talk about it a bit in both ways, personally for Zion Williams and public perception-wise. Here's the thing. I would have felt 100% cheated if there was a statistic that said – Zion Williamson fouled out. Your whole game immediately loses all credibility because people who didn't see the game are going to say, oh, well, Zion must have fouled out or something, right?
Yeah.
Even if he fouled out with 20 seconds to go, Zion Williamson fouling out in a close game would have been a built-in national lazy narrative that would have cost Louisville their props, right? I did not need him. I needed him in the game. I needed to beat them healthy. I needed to beat them full strength. I did not want him fouled out. And yes, as I watched the game, Steve and I both, you know, there was a foul on Ryan McMahon where he falls down. No, Ryan, this is where you learn. Here's the thing. Like, we all agree. Yep. We had already written off this game as a loss, hoping you could compete. Once Ryan didn't get that first call when Zion Williamson went over his back, I was like, good. Let him play as physical as humanly possible. They have to play a tournament-level game as physical as possible. It was going to be healthy for Louisville in the long run, all day, every day. I would let any first early games of the year, if you got a chance for the referees to tuck the whistle and let them be violent, as long as you don't get an injury, as long as you don't get a fight in the game. And by the way, they were very, very respectful of each other out there. Like, yeah. You came away talking about how much of a good kid you felt like Zion Williamson was, mannerism-wise. That was a very well-played game. That was a clean, clean game. It was cleanly officiated. Yes, and I agree, I'm not fouling Zion Williamson out of this one trip to the Yum Center. That just can't happen.
Yeah.
Right. Like, he didn't do anything egregious where he got an advantage through fouling. We talked about it. Sometimes when the shot goes up, he would push in the lower back a split second just to knock you a little off balance before he took off. People see him jumping real high. Up close, you can see the little lower hip shove that he does before he jumps. That stuff is why he is what he is. And I would hate for those little shoves to be called and us not learn why he is who he is. So well, overall, the officials I thought were great, and I'm glad they let it play.
If what you say, well, I know what you say is true, but if the vibe, you said to Southern Show, if the vibe is good at the practice facility with the players, then I feel I'm okay. Because then I say, okay, you learned something. You learned something, and you feel like there's a lot of food out there for you.
Right, and there's two vibe narratives you have to appreciate. The vibe leaving that game,
yeah,
and the one moving forward. Now, listen, Clemson is dying for a win. Clemson needs this game more than any team out there.
They're one of the last four in right now. So, this is a win that would put them in the tournament.
That's what I'm saying. So, at this point, I would say I'm more concerned about Clemson playing out of their mind than Louisville playing bad. That's a narrative to be careful. And the other one that I was gonna watch for Louisville spectators, no. I heard people saying this. Go watch the game. Duke didn't come out lazy, and Louisville didn't come out on fire.
No.
Look at those possessions. Those were defended possessions.
Well, Louisville didn't build a small lead until about 2 minutes left in the first half, and then extended on that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like people.
It was a tight game.
People who expected Duke to just wipe the floor with Louisville, they are the ones who said Duke was sleepwalking.
Yeah, if Duke's playing terrible, Louisville's playing amazing.
Right, but if you go back and watch the game at all, they had to work for their shots.
Yeah,
we forced them into bad shots like we do everybody. We took our shots. We missed a lot of shots. They gave Quan Four his looks. He missed them at first. Eventually, Jordan Ward gets the steal. Louisville started rolling, and they started competing. It was a low scoring game until both teams, kind of settled in.
This is just a team that I know it's tough when you do different games, and I understand it's hard to get up the way you do for Duke against somebody else, but this is one of those teams that you could say if you play with that intensity, you won't lose another game for the rest of the season outside of maybe one to Virginia, and I say one to Virginia.
Which is why I said I focus on this team more than I focus on Clemson.
Yeah.
Stick to your principles, you win. Stick to your future goals, you win. You start looking at the jerseys that you're facing, you're in for a dogfight. We're rolling along. I gotta get back on that phone. Middays with Marcus Maben, 8150, 93.9 is the number on 93.9 The Ville.